This morning, I'd like to begin by calling your attention to Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 and 23. The angel said to Joseph, who was espoused to Mary, Mary, the mother of Jesus, the angel said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." And then in verse 23, the angel was quoting from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, and said, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Two of the names that our Savior has are mentioned for us here in Matthew chapter 1. He's called Jesus and he is called Emmanuel. Now our God is given many names in the Bible. In Isaiah chapter 9, the Bible says, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's five names there. Then in Isaiah 9, he is going to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And I've thought probably the most complete name in the Bible for our God was given by Jesus in Matthew 28 when he said we're to baptize in the name, singular, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now that's three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But these three are one. And so the angel, so Jesus said you'll baptize in the name, not names, plural, but name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Do y'all rejoice in that name given to our God? He is our, in the name, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So, one of the most enjoyable studies you could ever do in Scripture is to study the different names that are given to Jesus Christ. But this morning, I want to notice these two names here in Matthew chapter 1. First of all, the angel said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." Now, his names mean something. And this name Jesus is very meaningful. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." Why? Why was he called Jesus and not Sam or John? Well, the text tells us, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The name Jesus means Savior. Now, if you don't believe Jesus saved anybody, then you shouldn't call him Jesus. But we believe he saved his people from their sins. How many of y'all believe that today? If you do, you have every right and reason to call him Jesus. If he tried to save but didn't save, then you shouldn't call him Jesus. But I can tell you, he lived up to his name. His name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And Jesus on the cross, giving his life for the elect family, saved everyone that the Father had given him to save. And what did he save them from? Well, he saved them from eternal suffering to eternal heaven. Now, do y'all think we ought to be here this morning to worship him? He saved us from eternal suffering to eternal glory. And that name, Jesus, is a glorious name. But then the text tells us in verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, we don't use that name a lot, but it's very meaningful. And the text tells us why he will be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, do y'all remember what the word Emmanuel means? God with us. God is with us this morning. He's been with us all the days of our lives. He is a present help. David said in Psalm 46, he is a present help when in time of trouble. He won't come along tomorrow or next week. He's present. He is a present help in time of trouble. He is with us at all times. And while we were singing the songs this morning, this thought came to my mind. We sung the song, He's Just the Same Today. Do y'all believe that God is unchangeable? The Bible says He is. He is immutable. He is unchangeable. And the God that was with Adam and Eve in the morning of time is the same God with us this morning at Cool Springs. The God that was with Abraham. The God that was with Moses. The God that was with the Apostle Paul. Did you know He's the same God today that is with us? I tell you, that's glorious. To think about. He is unchanging. He's not getting old. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, said the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Hebrews. So our God is a present help. God with us. I want to tell you, God shouldn't be just a Sunday only God. Are y'all agreeing with that? He's not just a go-to-church God. He is God Monday morning just like He is Sunday morning. And He'll be there for you. He'll be with you in all of your troubles and trials. God with us. Beloved, this God is the God who created the universe and spoke it into being. And that God is with who? Well, the pronoun says us. That's you and me. That's His elect family. God is with us. Whether you live in the 21st century or the first century or before the birth of Christ, God is with us. God with us. And who was it that He was with there in the morning of time? You know who was invited to come visit Him? It was the shepherds. It wasn't the kings and the queens of earth, the shepherds. Now we today honor shepherds because they're given an honorable position in the Bible. But in the first century, shepherds were not honorable people. They were the lowest of the low. They lived out there in the open air with the animals. They were not highly esteemed. They were kind of looked down on. But did you know the angel appeared to the shepherds that night and encouraged them to come where the child was being born? Aren't y'all, how many of y'all tonight, to this morning, understand that God takes notice of the little people? The people that the news media would pass up. But God knows every one of His children. And He's with all of us on a daily basis. Now, how is God with us? Well, He is with us in our service to Him. Can you imagine how hard life would be if God was not with us every day to help us in our service to Him? Take the great Apostle Paul. God was calling him to do some mighty work on the face of this earth. But God said to him, I'll be with you. I'll be right there by your side to help you. And you know what He said to you when He called you? I'll be with you. I'll be right there to help you. This week I was going back. My granddaughter, Hannah, rode with me down to Cairo, Georgia, to see John Henry in a little school play, and she was wanting to talk about my childhood and my past, and so I got out some old diaries, and I started reading. In 1964, I joined the church here. In 1966, I was ordained, and in 1968, I was called to pastor a church down in southeast Georgia. Let me tell you, I don't even know how to describe how I was. But I tell you what, you would have never called me to be a pastor of a church. You wouldn't have ever thought Brother Sam could. I was ignorant. I was unlearned in a lot of ways. But God was with me. And I want to say to everybody in the house today, I want to encourage y'all to know God is with you. If He's calling on you to do something in this life, whatever it is, He'll be right there with you. If you're about to get married, let me tell you, being married is a big job. Being a husband, being a wife, you're going to need help that nobody can give you but God above. Amen? But He'll be with you in your marriage. You're about to have a kid, you're going to need help. And you're going to need help from above. And let me say this morning, beloved, we shouldn't go about our daily service in this world as a husband or a wife or a mom or a dad or a grandparent or as a sibling or a child. Whatever we're doing in service, let's understand God is with us, and we shouldn't be complaining about what He's calling on us to do. Would you all agree? You know, if you go by your feelings, you know, your feelings are fickle. I know feelings are real, but they're very fickle. And if you ask a young mama who's already changed about 1,000 diapers, how do you feel about changing diapers? She might say, I'm tired of it. I'm fed up with it. But you see, you don't talk about your feelings. You live within the call of God on your life. And if God has called you to change those diapers, just enjoy it. Are y'all tuning in this morning? See, if it's God's will, let's just enjoy it. What, no matter what the what our feelings might be about it, let's just enjoy our service to God, because He'll be right there with us to give us strength and to give us guidance in our service. You're working for somebody, you've got a job, and maybe there are times when that job is hard, but let me tell you, God will help you as you are an employee working for people. Be glad you got a job. Be glad that you can work and do your best. And when they pay you, don't say, now, I don't deserve that. Earn what you get. Are y'all with me today? In your service, God will help you on your job. He will. It's amazing. I've known a lot of people over the years that have had hard, difficult jobs, but God was with them, and God guided them and directed them. So not only is God with us in our service here on earth as servants, but He is with us in our struggles, in our problems. Everybody has problems. Now, you don't know about everybody else's problems because you're not them. But I can promise you, everybody in this house today has problems, struggles, difficulties. But God has said, I'll be with you. Does that mean anything to us today? I think about what Paul was going through with the thorn in the flesh. It was a great problem in his life. It was so bad that the eminent apostle to the Gentiles went to God 3 times in prayer, asking God to please remove this from his life. And God kept saying, no, no, no. But he said, I'll be with you. My grace is sufficient for you. How many of us today know God's grace is sufficient? It's amazing. God keeps amazing in grace. Do y'all know that? Grace is still amazing today. And God will be with you when you are dealing with health problems. You're on your way to the doctor, or you're facing surgery. Through the years, I have tried to visit with a lot of people at the hospital who were facing major operations, and we would have prayer together. And I can tell you, it's a wonderful blessing for a person when they're being rolled down the hallway of the hospital on that gurney to know God is with me. God is by my side. He is the great physician. And I like it when a doctor will pray with the patient. Y'all like that? I've known doctors through the years. My brother E.D., when he was in Augusta, had a brain surgeon who would always pray with him. And that just blessed my brother E.D. to know his doctor recognized that he needed God in that operating room. And his first surgery was a great success, for which we praise God today. So God will be with you, beloved, when you are facing your own sickness, your own struggles, and your own trials. I want you to remember that. And then God will be with us in our sorrows. Everybody's going to have some sorrow in this life. Every one of us. I remember the morning I was trying to preach here at Cool Springs, and we got the news that Aaron had passed away, and I was preaching from Psalm 23. You brethren remember that? And I was right along in the Psalm 23, where David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And I tell you, that was just I believe that was the providence of God in that service that morning. We received the news during the sermon that Aaron had passed away. We knew his death was imminent, but I want to tell you to just be right there in the middle of that wonderful psalm. How many of y'all love Psalm 23? I camp out there a lot. God, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And let me tell you, when your loved ones are going through the valley of the shadow of death, I want you to know they're not alone. You can't go with them. Most people love to have their family around when they're nearing death, and I can understand that. But I want to tell you, the main one will be there. I've heard people say, "I wish, you know, mama was all alone when she died, or daddy was all alone when he died." No, the one that really mattered was right there. And you know who that was? Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, brothers and sisters, yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you'll fear no evil, for he will be with you. And so when you lose your loved ones, I believe God will be right there to comfort you and help you as you say goodbye to the dearest on earth. He'll be with you when you're passing through the valley of the shadow of death. Whatever your troubles are in life, your sorrows, he's promised to be with you. He's not a fair weather friend. Have y'all ever had a fair weather friend? I've had some friends in my life, I'm telling you, they were all-weather friends. They'd be there if you had a flat tire. They'd be there if you needed to move. And let me tell you, I've needed a lot of friends. However, I think I ran out of those kind of friends. I moved so much. Nelda and I have moved, I don't know, 10 times in 20 years. But let me tell you, I've always had people that were faithful, but God is an all-weather friend. No matter what your needs, he's there. And let me say this morning, he is a God, he is a present God in all of your failures and all of your sins. How many of us have had failures in life? How many of us have stumbled and fallen, maybe into some sin? I want to tell you, he's right there. When you sin, you say, "Well, Brother Sam, I kind of wish he wasn't there when I sin." You know, you and I need to remember that whatever we do, He is in the audience. Would y'all agree with that? Thou God seest me. That's a text from the Old Testament in the book of Genesis. Thou God seest me. I think I shared with you all one time a little boy would visit his grandparents and his grandmother had that sign in the kitchen. Thou God seest me from the book of Genesis. And the little boy didn't like that sign because he'd slip out behind the barn and smoke rabbit tobacco. Did y'all ever know anything about rabbit tobacco? He would do things that he knew his grandmama would not approve of and God wouldn't approve of it. He didn't like that sign. God is seeing me when I'm doing things I shouldn't. But later on in life, as he got older, and was dealing with all the problems and struggles of life, that verse became very precious to him. God sees me. He's watching over me. He's caring for me. Yes, God sees us when we sin and when we fail. And I want to tell you, He doesn't leave us nor forsake us when we do wrong. But what He does, He chastises us. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, He what? He spoils. I want to tell you, spoiling a child is serious child abuse. I'm serious. You said, Brother Sam, you know when we spoil our children, we're not abusing them. You're not preparing them for life because I can promise you there's not anybody out there in adulthood's going to spoil them. You need to discipline them. You need to train your children just like our Heavenly Father is training us. So when you and I do wrong, our Heavenly Father is present. God is with us when we are doing wrong. And I'm so glad He does. How would y'all like a God that didn't care what you do? What kind of parent would that be who doesn't care what their child does? I tell you, I had a mom and a daddy that cared. I mean, they cared a lot. And some of y'all remember my mother. She was a little woman. But, you know, we had a bush out back that we always said it never needed pruning because she got a lot of switches off of that bush. You know, children used to be run by switches. In our day, people say, you should never spank a child. Well, now, you shouldn't abuse a child. I agree. You shouldn't beat a child without mercy. That's wrong. But in love, you and I should chastise our children. Because you know what chastisement is? It's child training. You want your child to grow up, to be a blessing in this world, and not be a wild child and end up in prison. We want our children to be trained. If we love them, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receives. And I'm going to tell you this morning, beloved, our God loves us, and He's going to chasten us. Have y'all ever been under the chastening hand of God? Let me tell you, it hurts. But you know what? The nearer you get to Him, the less those lashes hurt. My mama, if I would wrap my arms around her legs, she didn't have much leverage. If I got close to mama, her stings, her little switches didn't hurt much. If you and I will get close to our Heavenly Father, just get close to Him. Draw near to Him. He'll draw near to you. But those chastisements, I'm glad to tell you all this morning, you've got a Heavenly Father that cares about you. He loves you enough to chasten you. And you know what? You don't ever get big enough not to need a whipping from Him. Isn't that the truth? I just turned 74. I still need His chastening hand in my life to know that He cares, that He's watching over me. Oh, beloved, what a blessing it is. And when we do wrong, and when we know we've done wrong, and listen, we can do a lot of wrong with our mouth. Did you know our tongue is a dangerous thing? It is. I ask God constantly to help me when I'm in the pulpit to say things that are edifying and good and God-honoring, because, you know, if I'm up here trying to preach without His help, there's no telling what I'll say. There's no telling how many mistakes I'll make. I want every word coming out of my mouth to be seasoned with the love of God and with salt. And brethren and sisters, when you're out there in the world talking to people, you need to ask God to help you to bridle your tongue. How many of y'all are good at that? Ooh, I just saw a lot of heads indicating you're not good at it. Well, I'll tell you somebody that can help you. That's God. And as I've said 1,000 times, never miss an opportunity to keep your big mouth shut. I've been working on mine for years now. And I've made a little tiny progress. But it's a job. I want to be careful what I say, when I say it. How many of y'all today love it when people get on to you and scold you and criticize you? Listen, that's not what God gave us a mouth for. Yes, if we're in a position of authority, sometimes we have to be corrected. I understand that. But it always should be done with love and respect to people in this life. I tell you, that's so important for us to remember. And so, may God help us to control our tongues as we live out our days on earth. And when we say something that we shouldn't say, what should we do about it? Blame somebody else? Try to hide it? No. What we ought to do is go to our Heavenly Father and say, I have sinned. Are y'all with me? How many of y'all are good at blaming other people? I didn't see the first hand go up. But I know y'all. You're sinners just like I am. And it's very easy for us to blame somebody else. Just like Adam and Eve did in the garden. Eve blamed the serpent and Adam blamed Eve. And the blame game goes on till this hour. And that's no profit at all in blaming others. Let's take responsibility for our own actions. I remember what John said in 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, just go to God, your friend, your Father who loves you, and confess your sin. He is faithful and just to what? To forgive us and to cleanse us. I want to tell you, He cares. He gets it. Another story I'll share with you all this morning that just came to my mind. This boy and his sister were visiting the grandparents out in the country, and the grandmother had a duck that she loved, and she had raised it from a duckling, and she cherished that duck, and she told her children, now, y'all are free to play and enjoy our farm, but don't aggravate that duck. Don't hurt that duck. Well, the little boy had him a slingshot, and he shot at the duck and killed it. Now what you going to do? You know what he did? He did like a lot of us would do. He hid it in the woodpile. Well, his sister saw everything. So that night, when Grandmama, after supper, said to the little girl, Susie, I want you to help me with the dishes. She said, Mama, I believe Johnny wants to help you with the dishes. He was being blackmailed. So Johnny did the dishes. The next day, Granddaddy said, Johnny, I want you to go fishing with me. And Susie said, Granddaddy, he doesn't want to go fishing. He wants me to go. Well, this was going on and on. She was taking advantage of it. I want to tell you all this morning. You know who Susie's representing in that story? Listen now, Susie represents the devil. See, the devil sees us when we do wrong, and he is the accuser of the brethren. Isn't that what the Bible says about the devil? He'll get in your head, and he'll accuse you and think that you're the lowest of the low. There's no way God could love you. You're going to hell. Satan loves to get in our heads and accuse us. And the truth is, he has a lot to work with. We're all sinners, right? I am still preaching to sinners this morning. A sinner's preaching to sinners, so I know sinners, because I'm one. Well, let me tell you. Finally, Johnny got tired of it. And he went to Grandmama, and he confessed the whole thing. And you know what Grandmama said? She said, "Johnny, I saw it from the kitchen window. I knew when you killed my duck, I knew when you hit it. I just wondered how long you were going to let your sister torment you over it." Now, Johnny shouldn't have killed the duck. We all agree with that. And there's a lot of things you and I do we shouldn't do. But aren't you glad our Heavenly Father still loves us? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. When the prodigal child was coming home and the daddy ran out to greet him, he kissed him. He didn't say, "Now, son, you're a low-down rascal. You don't deserve coming back here. You get out of here." No, the father met him and kissed him and put a ring on his finger and a robe on his back and shoes on his feet. That's love. I want to tell you all this morning, your Heavenly Father loves us. One of the sweetest stories I ever heard on a parent's love was this boy was caught and sent away to prison, brought shame to his parents. Finally, he had served his time and he sent home a letter and said to his parents, "I'll be coming home. I'm being let out of prison. And I'm be coming home in a week." And they told him the week. And he said, "I'll be on the train." And their farm was right on the train tracks. And he said, "If I'm welcome, would y'all hang a ribbon on the old apple tree near the train tracks? If I'm not welcome, I'll understand. I'll just go my way." Well, when they got near, the train got near to his parents' house. He was so nervous, he wouldn't even look out the window. He said to the fellow next to him, he said, "Would you please look out the window and see if there's a ribbon in the tree near the track?" And the guy sitting next to him said, "No, I don't see one ribbon. I see dozens of ribbons." His parents didn't want him to miss the ribbon. Yes, he had sinned. He had suffered for his sins, but he was still loved and welcomed home. I want everybody today to leave here knowing God loves us. I don't get it. I don't understand how God could love me. Honestly. It's beyond comprehension that God, the holy God of the universe, would love poor, weak sinners like us. But I know he does. And you know how I know he does? Because he gave his son. Listen, you know what Christmas is all about? It's not about all the commercialization that goes on. I wish somebody could write a song, a hymn in our hymn book that would stick in my mind like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That song, I heard it down in Cairo Friday morning, and that song, I just keep playing it in my mind. Rudolph. And I kept thinking, why can't I get this song out of my mind? It's a catchy tune. But beloved, Christmas is not about Rudolph. When you have a Christmas tree, may I encourage you to let that Christmas tree remind you of the most important tree in the universe. And you know what tree that was? The tree Jesus died on 2,000 years ago. And when you see the lights, and aren't they beautiful? Let those lights remind you of the light of the world. And when you see those gifts, let them remind you of the greatest gift of all. Jesus Christ and eternal life. I said it last Sunday at Oak Grove. The greatest Christmas gift of all was a little baby when God gave his only son. God with us. Beloved, please Let's get close to Him. Let's stay close to Him. Let's not be lukewarm. I tell you, we are all in a secular environment. Some people call it a post-Christian America, and I believe that term really fits. We are living in a carnal, secular environment. We are. Church attendance is way down in America. Can you imagine that? A nation that's been blessed like no nation on the face of this earth, and church attendance is down? No, let's guard our hearts. Let's get as close to Him as we can. I was reading the other day about the Titanic. Some of you all have probably seen those movies, great movies. On its maiden voyage from England to America, it was called the Floating Palace of the North Atlantic. Nothing like it had ever been built. Somebody in England, one of the engineers, said it's unsinkable. It sunk on its maiden voyage. Y'all remember that? And in my mind, I can picture how they felt. That chilly night in the North Atlantic when that ship ripped its side open on an iceberg and they're sinking. And that ship went down very quick. And they were so proud, they didn't have nearly enough lifeboats. They got the women and children in the lifeboats, and the men were going to be lost. And you know what the last song, see, the orchestra went out on the deck and started playing. Because they knew they weren't going to survive, but they were playing beautiful music to help the women and children. And you know what the last song was they played? Nearer, My God, to Thee. Let's not wait till our ship is sinking. See, in the ballrooms of the Titanic, they weren't playing Nearer, My God, to Thee. They were playing the beautiful waltzes of Europe in their beautiful gowns and tuxedos. They weren't thinking about God. That's where America is. That's where you and I could be. Let's draw near. Are y'all with me this morning? Isn't it wonderful to believe in Jesus? Isn't it wonderful to love Him? Isn't it wonderful to know He loves us? Wow! The God of the universe loves us. Thank y'all for your attention this morning.